Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
Hello and welcome to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio. I'm Andy Linton and I'll be chatting with a guest, which is nice, and playing some music. And as always, thanks to our sponsors and to our wonderful tech staff who look after us in the studio and make sure that it's nice and easy for us to do the chatting and the record without having to deal with all the sliding knobs and all that stuff. Right. So, as I say, we've got a guest in the studio. I'm going to introduce her shortly. But before we do that, I'd just like to take a chance just to mark the fact that it's 25 years since the Good Friday Agreement in Belfast, which was brought an end to the sort of the troubles in Northern Ireland. I grew up, early years were sort of growing up in that. I left and eventually ended up here. But the Good Friday Agreement has meant that the troubles have sort of, that overt violence has stopped. And while there's still a lot of tensions and bits and pieces going on, things have got a lot better over those 25 years. One big change that meant was that it was actually codified how we could get to the point where there was a united Ireland. And while that still hasn't happened, you would think that with Brexit and stuff, that may well be more on the cards. Certainly it's been talked about much more openly. It's certainly the government sort of set up in Northern Ireland hasn't been 100% successful. In the 25 years, 10 of those Parliament hasn't, or the Assembly hasn't sat properly. So it's kind of still a tense thing and so on. Yeah. But hopefully it will change. I always think back to that advert that Rachel Hunter did on the in the early 90s when she talked about the shampoo and she said, it won't happen overnight, but it will happen. And I think maybe that's what's going to be the case in the north of Ireland with change over the constitutional thing. Anyway, I just wanted to sort of flag that, that 25 years, Joe Biden's been to visit, he's walked about and people have been very excited and so on. But there's a lot of change still that needs to happen there for people to be able to talk to each other properly and self-govern themselves in whatever way. So my guest in the programme today is Carolyn Mills. It's really nice to have you here. And she's been the principal harpist, isn't that right?
That's right.
The New Zealand Symphony.
Yes.
For?
Almost 35 years.
Right. So I think I read 1989,
yeah,
which is the same year that I came to New Zealand.
Oh, right.
So, yeah. So it's a long way.
Part of the furniture now.
Yeah, yeah.
Both of us.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So that's, it's a long time to be, I mean, presumably you just haven't done that thing. You've gone and done other things and you've been around it.
Yeah. I do like to have a variety in life.
Yeah.
As they say, that's the spice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw a couple of things that said you'd been to the Antarctic on a...
Yes.
Yeah, you know, which would be... I hope you weren't playing out on the deck with the cold hands.
You know, it was talked about a lot. The idea came up to put the harp on a flat iceberg and, you know, and have me play. You know, there were all kinds of...
It'd be kind of hard to keep it in tune, I suspect.
Well, yeah, that one didn't really work, yeah, you know, yeah, didn't seem, yeah, like it was workable.
Okay. So part of the reason Carolyn's here is to talk about a new album that she's made called An Enchanted Land. I just checked my note there. And there's quite a number of tracks on there. I've picked three out that I, for various reasons, I thought they were the three that I would like to have us play. So we're going to hear the first one of those, which is a tune called The Maids of the Mourne Shore, or The Maids on the Mourne Shore. Maids of the Mourne Shore, that's it. And I used to live in the Mourns. So it's a mountain area in the south of County Down, and
I
used to live there. So
wow,
that was part of the reason I picked this. Thank you. Okay, so the Maids of the Mourne Shore. Now, that's a tune I recognise as it's one that gets played in traditional circles.
Yes, it's famous.
It's famous, you know, and there's a song and it gets played as a real, you know, very pulsing sort of, I mean, it's not exactly the same, but it's definitely the same piece of music, you know, just arranged in a different style of
it.
And even as a waltz, you know.
So, yeah. And classical composers too have taken it and run with it.
And one of the songs that goes, gets put to that air, it was one that W.E. Yeats wrote.
Yes.
And has also gets known as...
It's the Sally Gardens,
The Sally
right?
Gardens, yeah. So I think probably if it, when it's played as a reel, Sally Gardens would be the would be the name, but it's definitely the same, same piece.
Yeah, same beautiful tune.
Now, of course, that the way you play it is very very gentle, you know.
It's a delicate arrangement.
Delicate arrangement. Yeah. That's lovely. You know? I mean, I listened to them when I heard you were going to come on. I listened through, you know, picked some of the tracks out and listened to, and most of the CD, I would say, is it's sort of reflective and gentle arrangements.
Yes. I think so. I think that was the idea. Part of the what was behind this collection, the idea of doing it didn't even come from me. It came from the producer and owner of Atoll Records, Wayne Laird. And he said, you know, what do you think about doing a CD with a lot of beautiful Celtic music on it that's that sits somewhere, where the arrangements sit somewhere between like full virtuosity, classical, pedal harp, concert harp style, and, you know, just the straight traditional or the, you know, the really small harps, somewhere in between that, so that it's not, the arrangements aren't really simple, but they're also not really complex. and he liked the idea of having the ability for the concert harp to resonate and ring, which a lot of smaller harps, you know, you're not going to have that same quality of sound. So that was where the idea came from. But then I wanted to keep a lot of the arrangements, as you said, a little bit more on the reflective side, because otherwise you start getting big.
And it's nice probably with an instrument that's capable of being, I mean, people do this with the piano. They only play it gently and so forth.
Yes.
But when you need to, you can actually
open
it up and say, here's more.
Right. And also the concert harp has, you know, it's quite huge. the soundboard and the body, there's a lot of wood and a lot of resonating air that it can, whenever you play just one string, actually all the rest of the strings resonate, vibrate, and start the whole body of the harp vibrating.
Sort of sympathy thing.
Yeah, exactly, the sympathetic vibrations. And so that gives it a depth and a sort of projection that you'll never get on a smaller instrument, if that makes sense.
So you said that the tunes that you've picked here are sort of Celtic, and you use that phrase. So it's, although you're saying an enchanted land, we're actually talking about several lands here. We're talking about Scottish and Manx and Irish and Welsh.
Yes.
And of course, the harp sort of figures in the mythology of both Wales and, you know,
in
Ireland, of course. I mean, it's a big symbol of Ireland in
itself.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Since like archetypal times, really.
So, The harps, of course, that were being played back then would be much smaller.
Quite different.
I think I read somewhere that some of them had metal strings and people plucked them with their fingernails.
Very, very traditional to have wire strings.
Yeah.
And that's the, you'll forgive my pronunciation, but I believe that's the clarsach. And the wire string sound is something quite different and special to that, but it's still a harp, you know, it's still a kind of harp and part of the bigger family of harps. So
in the, I mean, in keyboard terms, it would be like almost the piano and the harpsichord.
A little bit,
You know, plucked versus, it's not hammered, but it's that soft pads here.
Right.
Do you use a Is that how you do it?
I use the pads of my fingers.
Yeah.
You get calluses, and they get pretty robust. And, yeah, so that's my style of playing. I know that there are, as you said, there are certainly players, particularly in traditional genres, and not just in Ireland, but also in South America, that the fingernails are used quite a lot.
Yeah.
And to me, that's... Wow, I don't know how they do it. It seems crazy, but people do it.
Okay, that's great. Right. So there are 21 tracks on here. I think that's...
That sounds about right.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
And they sort of, as I say, they range from obviously Irish tunes, and there's some of them in Welsh. And both of us said earlier... Pronouncing the Welsh ones are kind of hard. I still struggle, you know.
I'm just not going to do it.
They have all those, well, the ones on here didn't have all of that, but the ones in Welsh that have all those consonants.
Oh, I know. No, I'm not going to embarrass myself.
That's fine. Yeah. So I thought we'd have another piece of music.
Sure.
And this is one called George Brabazon.
Yes.
And when I know this tune, I would always say in front of that Planxty, George Brabazon.
Right, yes.
Because a lot of the tunes that the guy Turlough O'Carolan, who is reputed to have written this one, and he wrote some, you know, many hundreds more, like three or four hundred tunes.
Yeah.
He used to use this word Planxty as a way of saying, I wrote this for a patron.
And I see. So, I didn't know that's where that word came from.
No, and I think it was, they seem to think it was his invention.
Okay.
But whether that's true, I don't know either.
Well, that sounds good to me.
So this is George Brabazon, and we'll have a listen to this and then we'll talk some more.
Cool.
So, George Brabazon.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a good tune.
It's a good tune, isn't it? And you were telling me earlier that there's various arrangements on here, but that's one that...
That's one that I arranged.
Yeah.
And I'm quite happy with how it came out.
Good.
I enjoyed it.
So we were talking a little bit about the different harps.
Mm.
The harp you play, I read on your website, is made... In New Zealand.
It is in Whangarei by an incredible master craftsman Kim Webby,
yeah.
Who has been building harps ever since, goodness, sometime in the 80s, I would guess, when his sister Helen Webby, who is, I think, well-known to you well-known in a lot of Irish music circles, she's a really fine harp player, and she straddles both worlds very easily, classical to traditional. Well, when she decided as a young person that she wanted to start playing the harp, Kim, I think the story goes that he went to the public library and borrowed a book on how to build a harp or something like that. You know, it's quite remarkable. And this New Zealand, you know, spirit of, well, we just find a way and you do
it.
It's
not quite number 8 fencing wire, but it's that sort of thing.
You know, it's sort of like that. Yeah. But he obviously took to it and had found that he had a great talent and ability. And he is, well, it's not, I was going to say in my view, but it's not only my view. He is respected as one of the top harp makers in the world. And particularly because he's kind of a boutique, you know, he's one person. He does everything in his own workshop. He doesn't...
Yeah.
You know, it's not farmed out in any way to a factory kind of situation. Yeah. So it's really amazing. They're beautiful harps.
And so presumably you just don't say, he hasn't got a harp showroom that you turn up and buy one. You say to him, this is what I'd like.
And you know, you wait a few years.
And you talk about wood and those sorts of things.
Well, actually, if you're me, you just leave it to him.
Okay.
I mean, he knows his business.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's nice. But that would, and that really probably was a different style of harp to the one O'Carolan was, because he was an itinerant musician.
Yes.
He wouldn't want to be, because a concert harp's
it's
a big
it's
beast.
Huge. It's huge. And plus, they didn't exist then in O'Carolan's day. But yeah, they're not something you can just. I mean, you can put it in the car. It's been done. I have done it 100 million times over the course of my life.
Yeah.
But it's a big deal to move a big, heavy pedal harp around the place.
Yeah.
You know, you have to plan for it.
You plan for it. So it's, I mean, I'm thinking, I have my recollection of seeing one is it's sort of like the innards of a grand piano on its side.
Well,
it's that sort of scale.
It's a bit like that kind of scale. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have pedals. You know this?
Yep.
Yeah. There's all this.
So what are the pedals do?
The pedals change the keys, essentially. Because the strings on the pedal harp correspond to one string per white key, if you will, on the piano, if you're visualizing that. And to make the black keys possible, you have to move a pedal which moves a fork on the top of the string to shorten each string by a half tone, then you can shorten the same string again by another half tone so that you can have every string playing either a flat, a natural, or a sharp. And this is how we can be, you know, a pretty fully chromatic instrument, but it's like an aerobic workout to play with your hands and move the pedals with your feet at the same time.
Yeah. I've seen someone playing you know, what you call an Irish harp
thing,
where they have little levers
on
the top and they sort of they flick three or four of them because they're going to be playing in this key.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And that's a simplified version
because each string can only move from one half step to the next and not to...
You can go down.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
So very different, but still beautiful. I mean, I've been playing lever harp more in recent years and
phrase,
I find it really fun. Yeah.
Okay.
It's different.
Good. So we're going to hear a final piece, but before we do, Carolyn has brought us CD in for us, and we're going to have a competition. So listen carefully, right? Because what she's going to do is she's going to ask a question, and what we'll get you to do is send your response to the question into Capital Irish Radio at. Oh, yeah, sorry. Marianne's saying to me, look at the Facebook page, for goodness sake. So look at the Facebook page, but our email address is on there. Send your correct answers, not on a postcard, but by email. And what we'll do is we'll draw a lucky winner out of the hat and we'll get that CD to you, and that'll be sort of nice. But we've also got the notion that not everybody's going to win the CD. So I'd like to ask you about Get a hold of the CD.
Yeah.
If someone wanted to do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it turns out that I think a lot of people don't really use CDs that much anymore, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We do streaming and so on. Yeah. So I think, I believe you can find this album on all the major streaming platforms like Apple Music and YouTube Music and Spotify and that sort of thing. You could also buy a physical copy from Marbex, I guess it's marbex.co.nz in Auckland, a CD store, or you can go to Atoll CDs, which is atoll.co.nz.
So it's A-T-O-L-L.
Sort
of like the Pacific Island.
Like a Pacific Island, right. .co.nz.
Yeah. We'll put those details on the Facebook page so people can have a look at them.
Great.
All right. So what's the question?
The question is, you played the track called The Maids of Mournshore. What is that tune also known as?
All right. So we talked about that earlier. And of course, if you weren't paying attention, well, bad. That's bad. You should have been. but you can always go back to the podcast that we have and you could have a listen there. Or I suppose the other thing you could do is you could go and have a look on YouTube and look at the track listing because you'll find them. You find the album there. I found it
there.
Yeah. All right. So the last one we're going to, is The Sky Boat Song.
Yes.
And I remember this. My mum used to play this on the piano.
It's a favourite for so many people.
Yeah, and it's a great piece of music. It's lovely. You know,
it's
that
change wonderful.
From the first half to the second half. And the idea of it, I can remember being quite small and the feeling of a storm, coming in that second
bit
where it goes, dun, dun, dun,
yes.
that bit. And I think anybody who knows the tune will recognise that phrase out of it,
I hope so.
Yeah. So let's hear that. And then we're getting close to the end of the program and we'll go out after that. And we're back. We're not paying attention here because we're just chatting away while we're off there. So my big thanks to, that was the Sky Boat Song, and my big thanks to Carolyn Mills for coming in and chatting and bringing us the CD to be a prize in our competition. So do put your request in. So we've got a couple of minutes before we go. Once again, thanks to our sponsors. Once again, thanks to Marion for doing the technician stuff. Don't forget that in the start of June, we've got Cullen Ass down in Nelson, and we're going to go out with a tiny fraction of one of the tutors, the fiddle teacher who's coming down over from Ireland, Sorcha Costello, and there's a tune here. She's playing the old Grey Goose, and we won't get to the second tune in the set, but she's going to be playing. There'll be a concert in Nelson if you happen to be in Nelson, and here it is.
You've been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding accessmedia.nz.